comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, ladies and gentlemen, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful, beautiful place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. It is talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. We're here because you matter and because you have a right to know. Now, Friday's show is an example, I think, of someone deciding you don't have a right to know, even though you do. Some of you were listening, and you heard what happened. We were about 6 minutes into the show when all of the internet streams died. Not for the TV side. Okay, the cable connection did not go down. Our internet connection did not go down. And all of the streams going to the radio side of the house died. By died, I mean they disconnected, and we could not reconnect. Took several minutes to get reconnected. Now, you might say, well, you know, that was a computer problem, or that was a software problem, which is what I suspected at first when I first glanced at the screen and watched what was going on. Well, the problem there with that is that you see the software that is streaming out to the radio stations and to those of you who are listening on internet and mobile devices, the same software that's doing that is also streaming to a dummy server that's capturing the show. That one was not going out to the internet, and it still functioned. But the streams trying to go to the internet got interrupted. They got cut. In short, we got hacked. Then at the end of the show, we got those back up. And then towards the right at the end of the show, the same thing happened over on the television side. And that is that the TV computer got hit. And those of you who were watching that, noticed that during the credits, it sort of sounded like a train going down the tracks. That wasn't us. That was someone else out there who decided you just didn't need to see and hear everything. Basically, what they were doing is playing tag, you're it. You know, it's one of those deals where we reach out and touch you and just let you know we're here. Well, we know you're there. Come on. Guys, we know you're there. We know you're morons, and we know you're enemies of freedom and enemies of the state, enemies of the Constitution. We know that. Thanks for reaching out and tapping us and proving once again the incredibly nasty, muddy stuff you're made of. The good news about that is we did get the video up, and we did get the broadcast out in some fashion. Now, another thing that's good news about that is we have the rest of the story tonight. Yeah, lots of breaking news tonight, and we're going to get to the rest of that story as well. We'll be back right after this. All right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And, boy, I'll tell you what, we've got some pretty, important and pretty earth-shaking kind of news here tonight on several fronts. And I hope that you'll stay with us for the whole show. Now, let me say this. Because of Friday and what I described right at the beginning of the show, we have installed some new software, and we have some more new software we will be installing and testing this week. So that means that there is a possibility that you may get one of those Best of Kevin shows sometime this week. I'm not really sure which night that would be, but it is a possibility. So don't think that I'm sick or I've died or I'm in the hospital or something like that. If we do a Best of Kevin show this week, it's because we're testing software. In order for me to monitor everything that's going on during a broadcast, I cannot be personally doing the broadcast. So in order for me to monitor it and test the software, I may have to do a Best of Kevin this week. And I promise you, if I do that, it's going to be a sizzler. So you want to be sure and tune in for that one as well. All right, now Friday, Robert Morningstar joined me here on the air. And you know, of course, that Robert Morningstar is the editor of UFO Digest, right? And Robert Morningstar joined me here on the air, and we talked about principally some photographs that he had sent to me. And some of you got to see those, some of you didn't. Some of you got to hear about them, some of you didn't. So here's what we're going to do. Two things we're going to do. Number one, tonight, I'm going to be showing those photographs again. So if you're not a member at the Kevin Smith Show, join right now. It's only 23 cents a day, $6.95 a month. Come on. So go ahead and join. Be sure that you download and read the new member info as soon as you join, because it tells you exactly what you need to do to be able to watch. Okay? But then you'll get to see these photographs, and for those of you who are listening, I'll describe them for you. And there is more to the story than we had when we did the show Friday night. I will be sharing that with you as well. Now, the original photograph sent to me, or the photograph originally sent to me by Robert Morningstar, contained four shots of Mars. Two of those shots were actually artist renditions of what Mars would look like with an atmosphere and oceans. Two of those shots of Mars were the ones that I used on Friday night. And they are not artist renditions. Well, I don't know. One of them is NASA's rendition of Mars. It's kind of a blood red and looks like a desert, you know. And well, you know, we always see that when we see a picture of Mars from NASA. The other is a photograph that was shot by Hubble Space Telescope. Now, back in 1997, the Hubble telescope was focused on Mars, and it shot a bunch of pictures of Mars. They tell us since then that there's no planet in our solar system that it can really focus on, because it's so incredibly powerful that it can't get down to what it needs to get down to in order to focus on something so near as the planets in our solar system. And yet, in 1997, it took pictures of Mars. And you've noticed that since then, Hubble, as far as I know, has not taken any pictures of planets since then. This photograph shot by Hubble shows Mars. We can see it's reddish color down on the surface, but it's a sandy red like we have here on Earth. And we see a blue atmosphere around it. And we see sort of a, I don't know if that's a jet stream or if that's the Mars version of Northern Lights or what that is up there. But there's a kind of a wavy swirl around the North Pole that's blue. We see there's a cloud cover, very thin clouds that we're looking through to see Mars. And then if we look carefully, we will notice that down on the southern side of Mars, near the South Pole, there are some things sticking up or sticking out of Mars that have to be actually humongous. They actually have to be gigantic to be visible like this, sticking up from the surface of Mars. One person estimated for me that one of those structures has to be about 60 miles high. I'm not sure about that. I don't know. And, you know, I'm sure if I really put my mind to it, I could figure it out. But I don't have time to do that. I can simply tell you that these are gigantic, whatever they are. Now, Robert Morningstar had seen this previously. And so he sent me this picture. This picture of the Hubble shot of Mars next to the NASA version of Mars. And those things sticking up from the surface caught my eye, like, immediately. Okay? And he had noticed those two. He thought it was an ice mountain. And he said people thought he was nuts for saying there's an ice mountain at the South Pole of Mars. It's just, you know, something sticking out there. Well, I went and did a search for this picture. And I can find this picture, doctored. I can find this picture, the Hubble picture, I can find it doctored. But the original picture, as sent to me by Robert Morningstar, I can't find it. I find this picture after being doctored. And the doctoring goes like this. The doctoring is that the adjusted, if you will, photo that's supposed to be a Hubble photo strips away the cloud cover, strips away most of that blue hue, and we get a red, not quite as red as the standard NASA version, but a red, dusty, barren desert. However, it also shows in the doctored picture they left in that wavy, wide, wavy blue formation of clouds or whatever that is encircling the North Pole. It also leaves in that ice cover at the South Pole. But it takes out all of those things sticking up out of the surface. Now, when you make information disappear, it draws attention to it. I don't know why the information managers at NASA, the information managers within the military, within the intelligence community, I don't know why they don't get it. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, you harass me as though I'm doing something bad to you. I'm trying to help you get it straight here. If you don't want to draw attention to it, leave it alone. When you make information disappear, you draw attention to it just as if you put a big yellow highlighter across it. Just as though you had highlighted it with a yellow highlighter, it draws attention to it. Well, you succeeded. You drew my attention to it. But looking at this, I said to myself, self, I want to look at this in as much the same perspective as I would be able to if I were standing at the South Pole of Mars. If you're standing on the South Pole of the Earth, you know that nothing looks upside down. You don't have the sensation that you're hanging upside down. You don't have that sensation at all, and yet you are. I mean, here's the Earth, and you're at the South Pole, and you're standing with your head into the sky, of course, but you appear, if we shoot a picture of Earth and could see you standing there, you would appear to be upside down to us, with the North Pole at the top, South Pole at the bottom, and there you are, hanging off the bottom of the Earth. But that isn't how you see it when you're standing there. The way you see it when you're standing at the South Pole is everything is as it should be. You're just standing there on the surface, and everything is out in front of you as it should be. So what I did is I took this picture of Mars and just flipped it over so that we're no longer upside down. It's as though we're standing at the South Pole of Mars, and then I zoomed in, and when I did, I saw the most amazing sight. I mean, an astounding sight. Because all the way across that South Pole of Mars is what appears to be a man-made, or artificial, somebody made it, installation of some kind, and it's gigantic. Now, some people say, well, yeah, but you know Mars is a lot smaller. It's 50% smaller. That's still huge. It's roughly 50% smaller than Earth. That's still huge. Gigantic. It goes from one side of Mars to the other side of Mars at the South Pole. It covers the South Pole. It's gigantic. Well, I also talked about the fact that I ran this through a solarizing filter. And what the solarizing filter does is it draws a boundary line. This particular filter draws a boundary line between the surface and the sky. So what we can see is these are not just some sort of weird little pixels. We can see that the black outline goes around these things. Therefore, they are sticking up from the surface. They're not just pixels. There's one photograph I'm not sure that I talked about. I may not have even shown it. But if you look at this giant installation, the thing kind of looks like Disneyland. You know, the Magic Kingdom? It kind of looks like that. And it's got some sort of great big, in this picture, it's a big white rectangular shape that is hanging just above the surface, just above this installation, but it is in the sky. It is not sitting on top of this installation, and it has to be gigantic too. But if you let your eye follow the curvature of the planet around to the right, it was just too big to get into one shot on screen. But what we find if we follow the curvature around to the right is we have some other kind of big something sticking up right there. And that has to be several miles high. It is huge, whatever it is. Now, in this particular shot, if you're watching, you can follow the curvature of the planet back around to the left, and when you get to the upper left-hand corner of the picture, you can see part of that installation. Okay, let's take a look at this installation. After Robert Morningstar and I did that show, and we talked about these pictures, and I put these pictures out on our TV channel, after that, I got a telephone call from one of our listeners. This listener is a scientist, and this listener was talking, actually not talking, but chatting with another scientist of another, a scientist in another field that includes astronomy. And they were chatting, and so the listener says to this person in the chat, "What can you tell me about the South Pole of Mars?" The person he was chatting with, who has some pretty high credentials, said, "You mean that launch base? That launch base on the South Pole of Mars? Is that what you're talking about?" Now, folks, I didn't have this conversation. I don't know the person to whom he was chatting, but he told me the credentials, and they're high. And not high in the military or anything like that, but high in the scientific world. And this person said, yeah, that they started building that back in the 80s. Carter knew about it. And he said it's used as a jump base. He said that the U.S. has the capability of getting from Earth to Mars in about 5 to 5.5 hours. And when they are going from, if they're headed off to other planets or further, they don't launch from Earth. That would be a massive, massive, massive media thing if they were to do that. So what they do is they have a craft that they can just take off and fly up to Mars. It takes them 5 to 5.5 hours, according to what this person told our listener. And when they get there, then they board whatever craft they're going to jump from Mars to elsewhere. And are you ready? Now look, folks, before I tell you this, you have to understand. You know, those who listen all the time, I know you already do understand. Those who are new, understand. I'm not saying that this is exactly how it is, because I don't know that. I'm saying I was told by a listener who is a scientist that he was in a chat with another scientist, and the other scientist with very high credentials said this information to him. So I'm getting it secondhand, that's true. Our listener asked that scientist, would he be willing to come on the show and talk to me about this, and he said absolutely not. And when our caller responded and asked, well, why wouldn't you do this? The other scientist said, look, I'm old, older guy. I'm almost at the end of my career. I want to live out my life in peace, and I don't want to shorten it. And then he told him something really astounding. When we come back from this break, I'll tell you.
Here taking all our money, and the people that come into this town, they leave broke. I need you to investigate them. Call me. Hey, 70. If they haven't got me yet, please help me. See you, Kevin.
You might be wondering about that, what you just heard. Let me tell you what that is. That is a guy that was my best friend in high school. Haven't talked to him in years. And he lives out in Las Vegas. He walked into a bank the other day, and there was one of the people in the bank had his laptop open on his desk and had his earphones in, or his earbuds in. And as Gary walked by, he noticed the guy was watching my show. And so he stopped and talked with him and said, hey, you know, I know that guy. Oh, really? The guy says. He says, oh, yeah, he was my best friend in high school. So they had a little chat. And so he decided that he would give me a call. And that's what he did. You got to hear the call I got. Oh, yes, indeed. Vegas Gary. okay, back to Mars. Because there was something else. I told you there was something else that this scientist told the listener, the person who regularly listens to this show. He told them that that is a jump base, a launch base, and he said that it's a United States base. I said, and I say again, I don't know. I don't know of any way I have of finding out whether that's true or not. But this scientist, who has really impressive credentials as a scientist, said, oh yeah. And he said, furthermore, what got this started was that the U.S. found a Stargate on Earth, and they built this facility and moved that Stargate there. And that when the Russians found out, they were ticked. And it caused a diplomatic uproar. You and I never heard about that, but that's what he said. So, apparently, if what he says is true, when they want to use Stargate to go somewhere else, apparently this is where they go to do it. Now, I understand that there are people who will hear this, there are people who will watch this, and they will say, oh, that's just nonsense, that's just bunk, that's there couldn't be anything like that. Okay, I admit it's some fantastic claims that this scientist was making. I admit those are pretty fantastic. But look, when you say there couldn't be anything like that there, well, then what is that? Whatever that is that's right there in those pictures, whatever that is, you can't say it can't be there because there it is. So what is it? Does that look like something geologically created? In other words, just geological processes stacked all that up and put those towers there and put that big rectangular white thing in the sky above it. Geology did that. So when you tell me that something like that just can't be, okay, if it's not what that scientist says, then you still have to, I think, agree with the evidence from Hubble Space Telescope that that is there. So the question then is, what is it? Might be what the scientist said it is. I don't know. All right, we have some more big news. This has just come to my attention. It was actually published back in April. So this is not breaking news in the sense that it just came out. It came out April the 18th, 2011. But it came out in a Middle Eastern publication. It has been translated into English. And I want to share it with you. Because we've done a lot of talking here on this show about Dr. Zahi Hawass. As you know, the Minister of Antiquities in Egypt. Now, what came out on April the 18th, 2011... talks about something that happened actually in 2002, but it has just sort of been discovered that this happened. I remember watching on television the National Geographic special where they sent there's a little tunnel inside, a little shaft inside of the Great Pyramid. In fact, there are several of those. I think there's two or three of them. A German team designed a little rover that would fit into that shaft. And it had a fiber optics camera that where they could see what the deal was. And they had sent it up into that shaft, and of course it had its own light, and it had its own fiber optics camera. All right, so they sent it up into that shaft, and you may remember this. It's not something somebody could crawl up into, and you certainly couldn't stand up in it. Looks like it's about a foot by a foot. It's not big. And so the rover goes up in there, and you may remember this. When you get to the end of this shaft, there is a door. And it's got some either copper or brass handles, two of them. And it's just a stone slab door with these handles. Well, they wondered what's on the other side of that door, right? Well, they couldn't get to the other side of the door. But they got, they photographed as they went up into that. Well, in 2002, they sent another rover up in there, and it had a capability of drilling a small hole through that stone door. Remember this? And so it drilled a small hole through that little stone door and stuck the fiber optics camera up through that hole and into what's on the other side, and all they found was a stone slab. Remember? So it was not all that interesting. A lot of drama and a lot of hype, and then nothing really very interesting because, there's nothing back there. Well, then someone discovered something about the photographs. There are photographs originally taken by the rover going up into this tunnel, and then there are the photographs that were taken, the video taken, that was shown on the National Geographic special live on TV. If you're watching our TV channel, the picture on the left is one of the original photographs. Now, let's just compare these. Compare, if you will, how pockmarked the side, the walls of this tunnel are on the left photograph. They're all scarred up and pockmarked. Look how smooth that is on the right, in the photograph on the right. Look at the ceiling. It's not the same. And if you really do some comparison, that door at the end is not the same either. It's not shaped exactly the same, and look at those handles. The one on the left, the handles embedded in that door are long. On the right, they're short. The door on the left does not have a lot of stains down under the handle, the left handle. But look at the one on the right. It's got a lot of stains on that door. So apparently, we have the original photographs taken from inside that tunnel. And then this is fake that was shown on live TV. Well, this, of course, a lot of people have criticized Dr. Hawass and said he's hiding the real stuff. He's hiding the real discoveries. Here is an example that would tend to show that. Now, one of the big questions I have, if this was live TV, that means National Geographic was there. That means they had to know this was not the same tunnel on the right. So was National Geographic complicit in perpetrating a, what could you call it, a fraud, a hoax? I'm not saying they were, I'm asking. Maybe National Geographic is not who was in charge of operating the cameras supposedly inside the pyramid. Maybe that's the case, I don't know. Maybe somebody else was operating these cameras. And National Geographic perhaps was just carrying this live. Now, if that was the case, If that was the case, then of course it could either be a camera watching this live, or this could have been pre-recorded and simply fed to the National Geographic broadcast during what's supposed to be a live broadcast. That's a possibility as well. I don't know, but I do know that when I'm looking at these two pictures, I'm not looking at the same tunnel. I know that the one on the left is significantly different from the one on the right. And the one on the right is the one we all saw on television. So then the question, another question is, not only was National Geographic involved in perpetrating this fraud or this hoax, and I think it's a legitimate question. I'd like to know if they were involved, and if so, why. And I'd like to get some explanation from National Geographic about if they were involved, and then if so, why? How can they account for their action here? I would like to get a statement from Zahi Hawass about this. But furthermore, I'd like to know what's behind the door in the real tunnel. What did they actually find back there that he doesn't want you to see? You see, when you create a black hole for information, it draws attention to it. There's an old phrase that, the truth will out. It does. The truth will come out. The truth will be known. And so when you try to hide the truth, you just draw attention to it. So what's behind the door of the real tunnel? Not the fake one. We know there's just a slab of rock behind that one. Who knows? I mean, the one on the right could have been constructed by somebody that does movie sets, but the one on the left is what was originally shot by the German team that when they first discovered that and sent a little robot up in there. What's behind that door? Come on, Zahi Hawass, talk. I'll be back. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And our discussions this evening, or our discussion of various stories this evening, this whole thing about this tunnel in the pyramid makes suspect, doesn't it, everything else that we have heard from Dr. Hawass. I'm not trying to attack Dr. Hawass. I think some of the things that he has done in the field of Egyptology have been fairly phenomenal. But, of course, there have been a lot of accusations that he's covering up information or hiding information that would actually change the whole world of Egyptology. Well, here's some evidence that I have just shared with you. Some evidence that's pretty straightforward, and it's pretty clear that someone, and he was in charge of this television project. I mean, it was all about him and the tunnel. Someone has broadcast on live TV apparently a fake tunnel. And, the photographic evidence is, I think, fairly straightforward, because you can see quite clearly that I think the most amazing thing is if you look at the wall, both walls, left and right, they're very chipped and pockmarked in the original photograph, and very smooth in the in what people saw on television. And you can see that the ceiling is not the same, and those handles on that door are not the same. And in fact, the shape of that door is not the same. So it looks pretty clear that somebody's been lying to me. That's what it looks like. And they've been lying to you. Why is that important? Well, because this is also the same Dr. Hawass who was overseeing the excavation of the tomb of Osiris. And as you will remember, I pointed out there was a photograph, there was a photographer in the tomb of Osiris with the crew doing the excavation. And we have photographs that are concurrent with their activities. In other words, as they're working, the photographs are being snapped. So we have photographs of them preparing to lift the sarcophagus of Osiris. We have photographs of them preparing then after they lifted it to the level they were on. We have photographs of them preparing to lift the lid. We have a bunch of photographs concurrent with their work. There are no photographs out there on the internet, and I cannot find any mention of them in publications, that the tomb of Osiris, whenever they lifted the sarcophagus lid off, there are no photographs right then, immediately, of what's in that sarcophagus. We later see a photograph, or we see a photograph of later, with the sarcophagus lid sort of laid at an angle across the sarcophagus, and you can see down into it, but it's empty at that point. What's interesting about that is I found a reference of someone, a professor, as a matter of fact, who said they found skeletal remains in there. Now, if those are the skeletal remains of Osiris, why wouldn't you want us to see those? Because, I mean, we have seen Ramses, we have seen Tut, we have seen Akhenaten. Why can't we see Osiris? Is it possible that what they found was Osiris, the remains of Osiris, and that he was what the ancients said he was? Is it possible that he was extraterrestrial? That's what the ancient people said about Osiris. They said he was not from here. He came down from the heavens with... He's part of a family group that showed up. And, well, actually not he. His family came down from the heavens. He was born after his family got here. But would this show that he's extraterrestrial? Is that what the deal is? Again, I don't know, but there's something being hidden in this. There's something being covered up in this. Apparently, they found skeletal remains that you and I were not given the privilege of seeing. And Dr. Hawass said later that when they lifted the lid, it was empty. And yet there's a professor of archaeology that has written that they found skeletal remains. So, the mystery continues to swirl about Egypt and to swirl about Dr. Hawass. By the way, you do realize that the ancient land we call Egypt wasn't. The people we call Egyptians weren't. And the god we know as Osiris wasn't Osiris. You didn't know that? Well, you got to get my book. It's coming out soon. Okay. Now, one of the things that we do on this show is take very seriously your input. So I get emails from people every day, and not the same people every day, but I get emails from people making comments about a show we've just done, suggesting guests for the show, suggesting topics for the show, links to information that listeners think I might find interesting. Sometimes I've already seen that, but, you know, take a shot in the dark. You never know. Most of the time, it's something that, while I may be familiar with it, I haven't seen that particular bit of information. So I always appreciate it. And if you've got a suggestion for me to look at a link or watch a video or something like that, send it to me. It is a suggestion. It's not a listener comment. It's a suggestion. And if it goes in the suggestion box, it gets read. All right? But we take that very seriously, because I know this is not just a game. This is not just a hobby for you, as it is not for me. You and I take this information quite seriously. Some of it is bogus information. We know that. And some people, I've been asked this. I've been asked this a couple of times. With so much bogus information out there in the UFO paranormal genre, how can you hold your head up and get out in public when you still deal with all this stuff every night, and you know so much of it is bogus? And my answer to that is, how can you still spend American money when you know there's so much of it that's counterfeit? I haven't noticed you burning your money. You still use your money, don't you? And there's billions, if not trillions, of dollars of it that's counterfeit. It's all around the world. So I'll tell you what, I'll quit doing UFO and paranormal when you give up all your money. How's that sound? We do try to weed out as best we can things that we know are bogus. To the best of my ability, I do try to weed out what I know to be bogus. Now, some people respond to anything that's really out on the edge by saying, "Oh, come on, you got to know better than that. A third grader would know that's bogus." Well, that sounds good, I guess, in some culture somewhere. I guess that sounds intelligent. The point is, all new information is out on the edge. All new information is controversial. We have to take a break, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back, and for those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. The Kevin Smith Show just wouldn't be the same without you, but you do have my sincere sympathy for whatever kept you from that first hour. So I was saying as we went to break, we take it seriously. When you send me a suggestion, I don't know, maybe you imagine, well, maybe he'll look at it, maybe he won't. Now, if you send it to the suggestion mailbox, I look at it. If you send it anywhere else, your chances are pretty slim. But if you send it to the suggestion mailbox, I read what you have sent. And if there are links in it, I look at those links. I go to those web pages or watch those videos. I take it seriously because I know you do. Sometimes people will send me a suggestion that, in fact, is sort of just their story, and they send it to suggestions. That's a place to send it. And they tell me their story about something and include, very often, they will include photographs. And I got such a suggestion that I want to share with you. This is from James, and he says, I have a pic or a picture for you taken July 14th or 15th, 2011, of a full moon taken from my back deck. On both nights, looking southeast at approximately midnight, I took a few quick pics with my old cheap HP M307, only 3.2 megapixels, from Enid, Oklahoma. Now, it may surprise you to know I know where Enid, Oklahoma is. But he says, I have many pics of the sun with objects easily seen, but this is my first of the moon, and I don't mind saying it scared me and my friends. Okay, what was the picture that scared him? Well, here it is. We can clearly see the moon, and then if you look carefully, look closely, there is something in sort of a southwest direction from the moon. What is that? Well, he zoomed in on this picture and sent me the zoomed in version as well. I don't know. What do you think? I've shown this to a couple of people. They tell me, there it is. That's proof. That's Nibiru. Man, don't start me lying. I don't know if that's Nibiru. I don't know if that's Planet X, but I do know it's big. Its apparent size in the sky is much larger than the full moon. And it's very dim, but there is some light reflecting off of it. And the best way I can describe this for you, ladies and gentlemen, is it's basically a sphere shape, although maybe not. I mean, I'm looking a little closer at it now, and it looks on the left side as if it can be an octagon. It is dark green with splotches of dark red. Now, those colors, of course, might change. They might appear different to us if it was well lit. But those are the colors that are showing in this picture. And it's at least twice larger than the full moon in terms of its apparent size in our sky. Taken at night, this picture shot from Enid, Oklahoma. Now, I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to open up the telephone lines and give you the opportunity to participate in tonight's show, and we'll talk about any of this stuff that you want to talk about. Maybe you have seen the same thing that James sent to me and that I've now shared on our TV channel and described for those listening by radio. Maybe you've seen at night something in the sky that shouldn't be there, something big like that. Well, call and share that with us. Tell us about it. Or maybe you have some opinion as to what this thing is. I mean, I can't tell you. I don't know what it is. I didn't see it. But honestly, frankly, I don't get out at night. I work all night. I'm in the studio all night. So I didn't see it. Maybe you did. Or maybe you have some opinion about what it is. Take a good close look at it. And see if those of you who are watching, just go ahead and grab a screen capture of that, put it in your Photoshop or whatever program you use and do whatever enhancements you want to do and see. I think the thing might be shaped sort of as an octagon as opposed to being a sphere. I don't know. It has me baffled. Or maybe you've got some opinion about the Zahi Hawass debacle here with the fake tunnel. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And if you're in the United States or Canada, please use that telephone number. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can use that number. And by the way, if you use Skype and you have that little international calling plan, you know, where you can call anywhere in the world for about a penny a minute, something like that, that's a good way to call us. Use that and call us at 623-444-5889. Or, because international long distance, if you don't have access to that Skype plan, international long distance is expensive. And so what we do is make it possible for you to participate in the show by using a flash message. To do that, you simply go to my website. The website is kevinsmithshow.com, all right? So you just go to my website and scroll down until you see the picture about tonight's show. When you see the picture about tonight's show, look right above it, because right above it is a link that says flash message. So what do you think about this, ladies and gentlemen? What do you think? Is that Nibiru? Is that Planet X? What do you think about the Zahi Hawass tunnel debacle? And what do you think about this thing on the South Pole of Mars? Is it an actual structure? What's your opinion of that? And the information that we got from one of our listeners who was involved in a chat with a scientist, another scientist, both of them scientists, and the other scientist told him that it is a jump base used by the United States. Again, I don't know. What do you think about it? 623-444-5889. All right, let's go to the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. It sounds interesting. I mean, I can picture what you're saying about this jump point on Mars. If that is correct, then that's just another important fact that our government is hiding from us.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, the catalog of things they hide from us, if you printed it, you would have to bring in another planet to store it. It's just, there's more.
Yeah.
There's more than you could store here.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, though, that the average American doesn't know about.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think this might be one of the things, I mean, I feel it's legit. I feel it's legit. So, you know, if it is legit, then what kind of power are they using? What kind of fuel are they using? You know, mm-hmm. because if it's taking five to maybe five and a half hours to go from Earth to Mars.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering what kind of system they're using to get there.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, I was talking with someone else about this today, trying to get some input before the show to, you know, kind of what are people thinking about this if they know about it. And it was his opinion, the person I talked to earlier, that, you know, he said, well, you know, we've all heard the rumors about the Aurora, and provided it actually exists, that's probably what they're using. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, see, and it's going to be another mystery like all the other mysteries that, you know, the government doesn't want us to know about. Well, the average citizen, but, you know, I know there's just, I wouldn't put it past NASA and, you know, the government to not have a jump base there on Mars. I mean, we have bases on the moon. Why not have, you know, some kind of a base installation on Mars? I think there is. I believe there is.
You've no doubt heard about Gene Cernan, Apollo 17 astronaut, who was being interviewed on Fox News, and this is after President Obama had basically put NASA out of the manned space business. And so he's not happy with that. He's an astronaut. He's a U.S. Air Force captain. And he's not happy about what happened with the manned space program. So that's what he was there speaking about. And the anchor says, well, you wouldn't be surprised, perhaps, to know that Buzz Aldrin has a different view. And then he reads from Buzz Aldrin's statement saying that Buzz Aldrin supports the president's plan, and that he says, we don't need to go back to the moon. We've already done that. And so then Gene Cernan, they ask him, so what do you say to that? He said, well, Buzz and I have had disagreements on various things, various issues in the past, and this would be one of them. He said, but he says, there are things where we do agree. For instance, Buzz does want to go back to Mars, and I support that. Now, he said that on Fox News. And the video of that is on YouTube, okay? So, it, you know, when did we go to Mars? I don't know, but he says Buzz wants to go back. All right, Debbie, I appreciate the call.
Okay, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
All right, have a good evening.
Bye-bye. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Buzz wants to go back to Mars, huh? That's what Captain Gene Cernan said in an interview on Fox News. All right, to the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi there, Kevin. This is Eli from Portland, Maine.
Hello, Eli. How are you?
Good, thanks. Great show tonight. You know, my first thought when you were describing the octagon shape of the object in the moon was Iapetus.
Well, this thing...
You see a lot of octagon shapes there as the in the images that we've gotten from Iapetus, and it looks like an artificial moon.
Yeah, yeah. Well, whatever this is not Iapetus. And it's not flying across the face of the moon. The moon is high in the sky, very clearly visible as a full moon. And at about a 7 o'clock position from the moon, not near the moon, is something more than twice the size of the moon in its apparent size in the sky.
Well, if we were to, you know, on the line of thinking that it might be Nibiru or something along those lines, it would be really interesting to see if, assuming we could see it, it was made of large octagon shapes, because that would bring a direct architectural connection to Iapetus, assuming Iapetus is artificial, which is what it looks like from those images.
Mm-hmm.
And the potentiality, I'm sure, you know, that you've heard and discussed on the show, that our own moon might be artificial because of all the strange coincidences related to, you know, with our own moon.
Yeah, not only strange coincidences, but you can see regular ribbing in the surface of the moon.
Exactly, exactly. And for the that moon of Mars as well.
Yeah, yeah. You're talking about Phobos.
Yes, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's strange stuff, man. I don't know what to think about it. I've seen lots of pictures of things near the sun, especially over the past year. There's a lot of pictures showing things near the sun. But I'm kind of like our listener that sent this in here. He said, you know, he had never taken a picture of the night sky, and so he shot the moon here and got something else in the photograph as well. And apparently over a two-night period of time, so it wasn't a fluke. It was there. I've never seen any photographs of the night sky with something like that in it. So if that's the case, that means this thing is getting close enough that it's showing up at nighttime, whatever it is.
Absolutely. On the point of Zahi Hawass and the tunnel and pyramid, man, I think Zahi Hawass is responsible for perpetrating lie after lie after lie on the world about our history, about Egypt. As long as that guy has been in office, I think he's been responsible for keeping us ignorant about so many things that have been discovered in Egypt over the years that I just really think that he's a despicable human being, and it's really unfortunate. And every time I see him on a show, he just makes my skin crawl. I mean, he comes off as like the worst like used car salesman in the world whenever I see him talk. And
why don't you say what you really think about Zahi? You really don't like him, do you?
Well, no, because I think he's responsible for perpetrating some really terrible lies on the world and our people.
I'd like to know what's behind the real door, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And listen, you know, Dr. Hawass knows what's behind that real door.
Of course he does.
And whatever he found behind the real door is the reason he did the fake one.
Right. I mean, that would follow it.
So there's something there that
behind the door, then we would have pictures of the real door.
Yeah.
Opening.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, it's something. It's got to be something that flies in the face of standard Egyptology. Has to be. I also would like to see the photographs that were taken when that sarcophagus lid came off of the sarcophagus of Osiris. Those haven't been released.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I would have liked to have seen what would have happened if he had been successful in his attempt to recap the pyramid in 2000. I'm sure you heard about that fiasco.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I think these are things, unlike the deal with NASA, where we kind of assume we're never really going to know the whole story, because NASA is such a massive ball of partial truths and partial lies, few whole truths and a few whole lies. It's just such a mess. We're never really going to know the whole story there from NASA, but I don't think that's the case with Hawass. I think the pressure is going to become so intense. Hawass is not NASA. I think he'll crack. I think eventually, and not in the not too distant future, I think he may start coming out with some of this. But
well, we've had some serious regime change in Egypt, and he was a part of that old regime for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
The fact that he's even still there, I think, with the new regime in place, shows that he's got enough secrets on people to keep his position.
Well, this article from the Middle East that I read, or I referred to, tells something I didn't know. And that is, right after the fall of the Mubarak regime, Hawass was sentenced to a year in prison and lost his job. What I did know is he did not go to prison, and other cabinet ministers did, and he got his job back. So, yeah, he knows something on somebody, maybe several somebodies, and I think he knows a lot of secrets from the pyramid that he dangled in front of them and got his job back.
Oh, I think that's absolutely the situation.
Yeah. I can't prove it. That's my opinion, though. I think that's what happened. Okay, I want to thank you for the call, Eli, and don't make it so long before you call us again.
I won't. Thank you very much. Have a great night.
All right, bye. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. What do you think about it, huh? What do you think about it? It's some interesting stuff, isn't it? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Mike from Kentucky, Kevin.
Hello, Mike.
How are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Mm-hmm.
These things, all the time you were talking about that South Pole Mars base,
yeah.
Or not the base, but the artifacts there,
mm-hmm.
I kept looking at it and saying, you know, those things almost look like rockets ready to launch, and but they were very large.
Yes, they are. It's...
Go ahead.
No, I just said yes, they are.
That was the thing that got me. We're talking about something that's several miles tall.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that there's a good possibility that they very... well, maybe American made, and you know, because of the secret space fleet, I know people hear you say that and say, oh yeah, here we go again with this secret space fleet stuff, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of stuff out there that these people are poo-pooing that really exists.
And the one thing that makes me think it might
bust out and slap them right in the face. And then they're going to say, well, why didn't somebody tell me?
Well, the one thing that makes me think it might not be American is I don't see any golden arches.
Hey, maybe they painted them white instead of golden.
Well, that could be. That could be. So, but no, it's, you know, Mike, I don't know if the information that was passed on to me by one of our listeners, I have no way of verifying it, but I have no way of disproving it. And I wanted to pass it on to our listeners, all of our listeners, because someone out there may have some way to verify or disprove that information. Mike, break's taking over. I want to thank you for the call.
All right. Thanks, all right. Kevin. Good show.
Thanks. All right, folks. We shall return right after this.
Connecticut, and you're listening to the Kevin Smith Show.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and the telephone lines are open, 623-444-5889, and let's go straight to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
As far as that Mars, as far as the Mars base goes, did you say somebody... said that we went up there and took Stargate and put it on Mars?
That is what that scientist said to our listener, who is also a scientist in a different field. And he passed that information on to me.
Okay. The structure there is huge.
It is.
Very huge. And if you would view Earth from Mars, where we are, I don't think you'd see anything like that, you know, at the same perspective.
You're right.
And therefore, I don't think it's just an Earthling base, because there'd be no reason for us to build something that tremendous. So it may be in cahoots with ETs or something, as opposed to strictly a U.S. base.
Well, it might be. It makes sense to me what you just said. The only thing, I have to say, there's no way for me to confirm or to be able to dismiss the information that I was told. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's not true, and I have no way to confirm one way or the other. But I think it's important information that people needed to hear. Someone has the ability out there to prove that it's true or to prove that it's not true. And, so by putting it out there, perhaps we'll get someone that has that ability.
I think that's the only way we're going to find out, is to get an insider to discuss this. But as far as the Stargates go, it seems like... all the Stargates you hear about that are terrestrial, mm-hmm. Seem to be guarded by the United States military, mm-hmm. and where the public doesn't have access to. So the fact that they would take one of these up to this Mars base doesn't surprise me.
No, I'll tell you what does surprise me was the information that this started under the Carter administration. That surprised me, because he told us he was going to tell us everything about UFOs.
I recall hearing a story where one of the Carter was at a book signing, and one of the people getting a book signed by him asked him about that, and they said that he wouldn't even look up and make direct eye contact with the person.
Yeah, that's on, you can watch that on YouTube. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, I was watching Jerry Wills. I was on his website, and I was watching the one thing he has there about the Stargate of Aramu Moore.
I can't say it either.
yes.
Go ahead.
And it's a... It's a Stargate in Peru that it's not guarded. I mean, you or me, if we could afford to go to Peru and had the willpower to do it, we could just walk up there and try to go through this Stargate.
Yes.
My point here is it seems that seems strange to me. Like I said, all the other ones I hear of, like on Mount Shasta and stuff, it seems like it's guarded, but this one's completely open.
Well, there's a fundamental difference between that, the one that you're speaking about, and the other ones that we've heard rumors about. The one that you're speaking about, it definitely exists. Now, as to whether it's a Stargate or not, that's something that each person is going to have to make up their own mind about, but it's definitely there, and there are people that I have met, in addition to Jerry, who have been there. And if you watch the video about it on Jerry's website, you will see there are people who say that they were there, they experienced it, and so forth. I've met most of those people personally, and they say it's for real. Okay, now the other Stargates that we've heard rumors about are not natural like this one. The ones we've heard about are technological. And I don't know if those are true or not. I mean, when we talk about Stargates, I don't have any problem in my mind accepting that such a thing could exist. But I also cannot say that I know they exist. I know there are people who say they do, who say they have been through them, and so forth. I personally have not seen one, and so I cannot say that I know it exists. Jordan Maxwell talks about it, and he's been on this show, and he's been through the Stargate. I think that's what he said, but I know he's seen, for sure he has seen it in operation. Yeah, that was it. He's not been through it. He has seen it in operation. And okay, that's fine. Jordan can say, I know it's real. I can't say that because I haven't seen it, haven't seen pictures of it, but we do have testimony of people who say it's real. But the fundamental difference between the two different Stargates is the one in Peru is a sort of a natural Stargate, whereas the one that you mentioned in Mount Shasta, or that's rumored to be there, that would be a technological device. So, you know, they are different. And you're right, the one in Peru is unguarded.
Well, I understand what you're saying about the difference between technological ones and natural ones. As far as getting to Mars in 5 hours, even if we did get to Mars in 5 hours, go to the nearest star on the same craft, whether it's the Aurora that you're speaking about, which I don't think so, but it's still unfeasible. So I'm thinking that's another reason why this Mars thing, which somebody called as a jumping place, uh-huh, might be more than just U.S. base.
It might be. You know, I don't even have any proof that it's a base. But I'll tell you, when you look at the picture, did you get to see it on our TV channel?
Yes, I did.
You look at the picture. I mean, the thing looks like the Magic Kingdom at Disney, doesn't it? I mean, it's a big walled castle looking thing. And it's gigantic. It goes from one side of the planet to the other side of the planet at the pole. It's gigantic. Now, something that gigantic just very well could be a multi-nation endeavor. It may be not only multi-nation, it may be multi-planet endeavor. There may be other races of people from other planets involved in this thing.
Well, that's my take on this is that it's multi-planet only because of the hugeness of it. Because we, being earthbound, have no reason to build something or the capability to build something that tremendous.
I agree. Totally agree. Okay, Jerome, I want to thank you for the call, man. I appreciate it. And good thoughts. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone lines are open, 623-444-5889. That's the number to call. And if you're in the USA or Canada, please use that number. If you're outside of the USA and outside of Canada, you can use the flash message feature or call us. Okay, and we do have a flash message from Tony in Australia. We're going to get to it in just a moment. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. It's Jackie from Florida.
Hello, Jackie.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. This is a fun show with a lot of good topics.
It's got a lot of stuff in it, doesn't it?
It does. And I love that someone went out and took a night picture of the moon. That's great. I hope more people keep doing that. That's wonderful. And the picture on the Mars thing, I noticed it on Friday on my computer. Uh-huh. The object that appears to be floating above at the 1 o'clock and the 2 o'clock position are really brighter white little strips sticking out.
Yep.
Like up and then out to the right, straight mm-hmm. up north, south, and then east, west, as if at that time when you showed it on Friday, I thought it almost looks like a place of perfect docking sites for something.
Oh, it might be.
And then you
be.
Could go down onto the planet. And as far as the towers go, Kevin, they got to have cell phone towers to call home.
Well, and plus they have to have one of those to send and receive back to the news media here on Earth. So
right.
They
got to keep us covered.
Keep it covered, keep it controlled.
I'll let you go unless somebody else jump in.
Thanks for the call. If this, in fact, is a facility, and I don't know what else it could be, it's gigantic. Gigantic. Bigger than anything you could imagine being on this planet. 623-444-5889. All right, we have a flash message from Tony in Australia. And Tony says, "Hi, Kevin. Could you please repeat the story of the moon and Planet X story again? I missed most of the story. And if so, could we see it from Australia right now? Many thanks, Kevin." Tony, I don't know if you would be able to see that from Australia. And I don't know, Tony, if you're able to watch the show. But if you are watching, I'll put the pictures back up. Unzoomed photograph does show that there, I mean, you can see it. When I first saw the picture, my eye didn't catch this other heavenly body. It's dark. It's not brilliant. It is lit, but it's dark. And so it's certainly not reflecting light like the moon does. And it's got a very much lower reflective value. But it's there. And then when you zoom in, you get a pretty big shock, because you can see that it's either a sphere or an octagon. And actually, I didn't notice this before the show. I just saw these pictures today. So I didn't notice it, but looking at it on my screen right now, as everyone at home is looking, look at the left side of it. It doesn't really appear to be a sphere on the left side. It appears to be shaped like a stop sign. The reason I say look at the left side is because the top and the right side are away from the sun, and they're shadowed, so we really can't see that very well. Now, if you do a screen capture of this and put it through whatever photo program you've got, you may be able to bring out some of the details that are back there in the shadows. But I didn't do that because I just didn't notice. Okay, we are going to step away for break. It's our final break of the evening, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we are on final approach. That means we've only got just a few minutes left in tonight's show. We still have time for one call, maybe two, 623-444-5889, and we have a flash message from Mark in New Zealand. He's addressing this image of the Hubble image of Mars and the thing on the South Pole. And he says, a quick calculation of the size of the artifacts. Objects in the image are as follows. Mars diameter equals 6,794 kilometers. The large object directly at the South Pole is 199 kilometers wide and has a height of 134 kilometers. The smaller square object to the right that appears to be in orbit or separate from the surface is 117 kilometers by 117 kilometers. If we are indeed looking at an ice-covered south polar region on Mars, why would you build a jump station in the most inhospitable and difficult region on the surface of Mars? Just imagine the logistics involved to build structures of the sizes indicated. And the U.S. has been building these structures since the Carter administration. Where are the materials coming from? Here on Earth, or are the materials being fabricated on Mars? Regards, Mark. Well, good points. All good points. Thanks for those calculations. As I told you folks, the thing is massive. Massive. All right. So, let's talk about the South Pole of Mars, and let's talk about where these materials may be coming from. Our government has made trillions of dollars evaporate, and they did it with a straight face. Just evaporate, poof, gone. Where do you think it went? And they're not through. They're going to do it again. You watch. They're going to make trillions of dollars evaporate. And a great portion of that, I am convinced, goes into black projects. And certainly, if this is a U.S. base on Mars, it is a black project. It is one they are keeping secret from you and me and as much of the rest of the world as is possible. So, where did the materials come from? I would suspect that they're using materials pretty much milled on Mars. And keep in mind, you know, it's my position, and there's no secret about this. I've said it. I wrote a book about it. Conditions on Mars are not what you have been told. I'm not saying you can walk around in shirt sleeves. Maybe you can. I don't know. But I don't think so. That's not what I'm saying. And I'm not saying that you could breathe without some sort of breathing apparatus. Again, maybe you could, but I don't know. And I suspect you would have to have some type of breathing apparatus to survive on Mars. But I strongly think, I don't believe, I strongly think that the conditions on Mars are far, far different from what we have been told in the official stories from NASA. As we can see, when we just compare the NASA photograph of Mars to the Hubble photograph of Mars, it's extremely different. And I think Hubble's probably a great deal more honest. It's showing us what's there. And it has a atmosphere. You see the glow of the atmosphere. You see wispy cloud covering. It's blue. It's not this bright crimson red that NASA shows us. I think the conditions on Mars are very, very different from what we've been told. And so I suspect that the hot spots are not as hot as we've been told. The cold spots are probably not as cold as we've been told. And I would suspect that there are materials on Mars from which you could build structures like this. But even if not, certainly you could transport materials there. And if this started back in the 1980s, there's been plenty of time to build this thing. Plenty of time. And plenty of time to have transported this stuff up there. Remember, it isn't NASA that does most launches on this planet. Most of the launches in the United States don't happen at Cape Canaveral. Most space launches happen at Vandenberg. Some launches happen from Earth into orbit, into space, from very heavily guarded islands in the South Pacific, if what we are told is true. But the busiest launch pads in the United States, as far as we know, are Vandenberg Air Force Base. So what do they launch? And, you know, people say, well, you know, we would know about something like this. You really think so? You really think so? Did you know about the radiation testing that they did in the 60s and 70s on unsuspecting U.S. citizens, including children in orphanages, including prisoners in jail? Did you know about that? Well, you see, applying the idea that if it happened, I would know about it, applying that to virtually anything else proves that's not true. So we don't know what they launched from out there, and I'm not saying that they launched supply ships and sent materials to Mars and built this. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it could be. It could be that. I think they've got the capability to do that, and I think it's possible that it was done. But I think it's also possible that the materials for building a structure like what we're seeing in that picture, I think it's possible that those materials may be indigenous to Mars as well. And it's quite possible that a lot of that was manufactured on Mars. We know that trillions of dollars over a period of time have evaporated, gone missing. Nobody will give an account for them. And Congress runs from accountability like the Wicked Witch of the, what was it, Wicked Witch of the West in The Wizard of Oz. Congress runs from accountability like the Wicked Witch of the West runs from water. If they ever get hit with it, it'll melt them. And they're not going to tell you. So that money went somewhere. Where did it go? Now, in talking with someone several years ago about the alleged bases on the moon, I was also told by that person the names of the companies, the contractors that built it. Why haven't I been on the air with it? Because I can't prove it. And you start naming names like that, you have to be able to prove it. But I think it's entirely possible. I think the capability exists for them to have transported all that stuff and built that base. And look, if that statement by Gene Cernan is real, that Buzz wants to go back to Mars, and I have every reason to think it is, that would have happened just after 1969. Which means by the 1980s, they already had the capability of getting to Mars, because if that statement is true, they did it just after 1969. All right, we're out of time. Caller, I would answer the phone, but you waited too late. Sorry about that. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been fun tonight. Great stuff we looked at. And I'll tell you what, I'll be back tomorrow night. If I'm testing software, I will be back with a Best of Kevin show. Or I might be here in person. You just have to tune in and find out. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.